My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating, and the video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he is still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
All right, hey, welcome aboard, folks. Good to have you with me. Hour number two. If you missed any parts of hour number one, I opened the program, and I guess some of this really bears repeating. So let me see. And no, it's not that one. Not that one. Not that one either. Well, where is it? There you are. Okay, there we go. No, but that's not really... That's not the one I'm looking for. Okay, so that's that. And that's that. Did I get rid of it?
Oh.
I don't think I got rid of it. they did get rid of it. I don't know.
Was it soundbite?
Yes, it was. It was, but I can find it again. It's not that I can't find it again. It's just so I began
you had it at your fingertips, and now
yeah, I thought it was like right there. So
been there, Pastor Greg. Been there.
So here's this is well now. Okay, so this is a 55-second piece. This one, and for those that are listening, let me share this. Let me see. Let me change this, and we'll change that. We'll put that there. There we go. All right. So this is a series of imams. There are those saying, "Oh, you know, Islam is the religion of peace." As a matter of fact, there's a guy that posts this. He says, "Hamas actions do not reflect the views of my Muslim friends towards Jewish people. It's crucial to differentiate between the actions of extremist groups and the beliefs of individuals." Now listen. Now these are, this is Hamad al-Raghib, Hamas official sheikh. O Allah, bring annihilation upon the Jews. Paralyze them. Destroy their entity. O Allah, enable us to get to the necks of the Jews, he says. Enable us to get to the necks of the Jews. Then the next guy says, the day of your slaughter, extermination, and annihilation is near. This is a different guy. This is the former interior minister of Gaza. This is an unnamed Hamas imam speaking on a Friday sermon. Until not a single Jew or Zionist is left on the face of the earth. Our doctrine in fighting you is that we will totally exterminate you. And again, this is another unnamed Hamas imam. But I can tell you that, so he's suggesting that they do not represent the views of Islam as a whole. However, you have the Khomeini in Iran, who represents all of Shiitism, who has come out and said he wants basically worldwide jihad. And he wants, you know, infidels to be eliminated. And
I hate to, so, okay. So I hate to kind of agree with that person who said it doesn't represent all Muslims, and I'll tell you why. So when I was in undergrad, I thought I've studied a lot of religions at that point. I took a world religion class thinking it would be a layup because I already knew everything. I did not, right? I think it was like the only C I got in undergrad, but I digress. but the Muslim religion, as I understand it, like I look at it as similar to, well, I shouldn't even say that. Because, well, no, I can't even say that. I was going to say similar to Christian religion, where you have extremists, right? You have extremists in different sects of Christianity. When I studied about Muslims, I believe there were, I only got a C though in this class, but I think 180 different sects of the Muslim religion. And I was like, okay, that's a lot. And you know, it's similar with Christianity, right? There's you know, tons of sects. Now, there are not modern day Christian sects that slaughter people based on race that I'm aware of. But I'm sure that there are historians who would argue, what about the Crusades and what about the this and what about the that? So, I don't know. I don't know. I know exactly what you're saying, but I know what they are saying. It's kind of, I don't know. You have these, I think the KKK, for example, purport themselves as Christians, but they also don't believe that Black people should exist. I would not say that represents Christianity as a whole. right? They're extremists.
So here's their here's their scripture. I had Al Rasuli, who has been studying this for 40 years. He put out a $2 million reward to any imam that could refute what he is saying. He said the following list of questions to each one of you. You should ask yourselves and your moderate Muslims the following items to find out if believing Muslims in the land of the unbelievers are good, law-abiding, integrated, and loyal citizens in our country. Theologically, no. Because Muslims submit only to Allah. As you well know by now, Allah was originally only the name of the supreme god of pagan Arabia among 360 other deities, and hence, most definitely not the same as the god of Jesus, Moses, or Abraham. Islam is most assuredly not an Abrahamic religion. Religiously, no, because no other religion is accepted under Sharia except Islam, submission to Allah. Al-Imran 385, if anyone desires a religion other than Islam, submission to Allah, never will it be accepted of him, and in the hereafter he will be in the ranks of those who have lost. Scripturally, no, because Muslims' allegiance is to Sharia based upon Muhammad's Quran and Sunnah. Textually, no, because Muhammad's Quran and Sunnah are hate-mongering, war-mongering, misogynist, racist, intolerant, duplicitous, merciless, hypocritical, treasonous, disloyal, evil, and hence most definitely ungodly. He says, Al-Maida, and I'm chopping that up bad, I know, 551, O ye who believe, take not the Jews, Yahu, and the Christians, Nasara, for your friends and protectors. They are but friends and protectors to each other, and he amongst you that turns to them for friendship is of them. Al-Tabah 929, fight, Qutilu, those who believe not in Allah, nor the last day, nor hold that forbidden which hath been forbidden by Allah and his apostle, nor acknowledge the religion of truth, Islam, even if they are of the people of the book, Christians and Jews, until they pay the jizya, onerous poll tax, with willing submission and feel themselves humiliated.
Wow.
Yeah. Let's see. Loyalty, no, because Muslims' allegiance is primary to all other Muslims all over the globe, called the Ummah. O ye who believe, take not my enemies and yours, Christians, Jews, Buddhists, Hindus, etc., as friends or protectors. Al-Tarim 66:9, O Prophet, strive hard against the unbelievers and the hypocrites, Christians, Jews, and other non-Muslims, and be firm against them. Their abode is hell, an evil refuge. Ishaq 2:31, Muslims are one ummah to the exclusion of all men. Believers are friends of one another to the exclusion of all outsiders. Then it says politically they're also not in alignment. For Al-Anfal 855, for the worst of beasts in the sight of Allah are those who reject him. They will not believe. Al-Fath 48:13, and if any believe not in Allah and in his apostle, we have prepared for those who reject Allah a blazing fire.
They don't mean like, so they mean literally,
yes,
not like the hellfire doctrine of Christianity.
No, they mean literally like we're going to burn you up, like they did to those in Israel over this weekend, where they literally
And the reason why I bring that up is because I would think that anybody listening to this would say, that sounds very similar to the Christian religion. But I think the difference here is we as Christians let God do the meeting out of these kinds of punishments and the reading of the hearts to decide, you know, whether or not he approves. We don't play judge, jury, and executioner.
Well, and you know, it's interesting because people will bring up what comes up with that then is the Crusades. And I would encourage people to actually read Bill Federer and really study what actually the Crusades were about. read my friend Paul Sutcliffe. Because here's what happened. The Muslims took over the Holy Land and killed the Jews. Then they went up into what is modern day Turkey, Constantinople, and they killed the Christians there, slaughtered them. Nearly 4 million of them were slaughtered. As a matter of fact, the history reports that they slaughtered them so severely all day long that the gutters in the streets ran with blood. And then they began to work their way up because there's a bridge between Turkey and Europe. They began to work their way up into Spain. Now, for 400 years, they carried this on. And the Christians in Europe kept sending emissaries and saying, stop, please, have mercy, let's live in peace, and so on. Very much like the Israelites have done with these people today, okay?
Right.
They rejected it. They got up into Spain and they started doing the same slaughtering in Spain that they were doing in Constantinople. When they reached the doorstep to reach into the rest of Europe, that's when the kings of Europe said, enough is enough is enough. They will not negotiate because their book tells them to kill us all, to rid the land of us, and that's what they're doing. So our response to that is we are going to mount up as a holy army, and we are going to take back the land. And so they began the Crusades in an effort to take back Spain, take back Constantinople as best they could, and restore Jerusalem to a Judeo-Christian stronghold that it was supposed to be, and to avenge all of that blood, but more importantly, to put an end to this Islamic bloodlet and onslaught. That's what the Crusades was about. And did they kill men, women, and children? Absolutely. And do you know why? For the very same reason, and I've pointed this out now over the last few days, there have been, in New Mexico, there was a camp where jihadis were teaching children to murder Americans.
Oh, in Minnesota too. Yeah,
exactly.
I don't know how we're allowing that.
Exactly. And a couple of other places further east that I recollect as well, there was a gentleman who was on a show that I was watching a few years back that was going in undercover and reporting on it and then had his life threatened. So right here in America, they're teaching these and in their mosques, and people are like, oh, they showed a picture of a mosque being destroyed. Do you know what a mosque is? A mosque is a military outlet where they train their people to kill the people around the mosque. That's the mosque.
Yeah, I mean, listen, assimilation is not really your thing.
If assimilation was their thing, then those neighborhoods they wouldn't be forcing halal. They wouldn't be, I mean, they've gone in a number of these meat manufacturing plants as an example, and they did this in the Dakotas during the pandemic. They bought up the meat manufacturing plants to try to force halal into how that meat was processed. I'm just telling you, look, we have Islamic nations around the world. If they want to choose Islam and to be an Islamic nation, and that's what they want to believe, then be in your country and do what you want to do.
Right.
I mean, really, that, you know, God says it's your choice, but that's not the case. But
they're
no
not satisfied.
Yep.
With us just living peacefully together. Like, nope. No, you have to be exterminated. And that, I mean, it, therein lies the issue. What do you make of, and I had a couple of people that I was surprised that are right on the right, but of course we've been discussing this the last couple of days. I'm interviewing you. What do you make
of? You're good. We're good. This is perfect.
What do you make of? So I said, you know, one of my friends called and said, I used to be strongly team Israel, but I have some questions. And he's like, and you're one of the only people I feel like I can talk to because you're reasonable.
Go.
So he said, so I have questions. I said, now I'm still team Israel, but I have questions too. I have questions about how in the world U.S. intelligence missed it, Israeli intelligence missed it, Egyptian intelligence, British intelligence, everybody missed this attack. That, and now, you know, post-COVID, I trust the government even less than I trusted it before COVID. So now I question everything.
All right. Let me jump right in on that just for time's sake. Let me give you a quick answer. Yeah. No, that's okay. But let me give you a quick answer on that. So here's a big part of the issue. Number one, Israel was and has been really overconfident in their belief that they were able to defend themselves. So part of this issue was overconfidence. Another part of this issue was compromise. A lot of people don't realize, but the West Bank is literally in the center of Israel. It's in the center. It surrounds Jerusalem, and it's in the center of Israel. As a matter of fact, for those there, up right next to you in the screen right now is a picture of it. So Gaza is this little tiny strip on the coast. But the West Bank literally is this big gray blob. So what the West Bank does is it takes Israel from being 40 miles across and in some places makes it as skinny as 10. Okay? So and 40 miles is, that's it. That's how wide.
Yes,
okay?
That's what I've been reading here lately.
So, now, it was that small. Yeah, so that's now let me give you some names. Robert Malley, Mihir Bhatar, and Arian Tabatabai. Those are individuals that are a part of the State Department and the intelligence apparatus for the United States put in position by Joe Biden. Robert Malley in April just had his security clearance suspended.
Yeah,
Arian Tabatabai is in Semaphore News in an article that was just released in July because of her close ties to Tehran and promoting Tehran's interests. And she is in the middle. And then Mihir Bhatar is a part of UNRWA. And yet he is running intel for the Biden administration. So I talked to David Wormser, who's in Tel Aviv. Their communications in Israel went dark. Now, Israel has the most sophisticated electronic security system in the world.
Right.
The only one that's even close is us.
Right.
The only one that has the capabilities of getting close to their codes is us. Who had those codes? Our intel people. Who's running intel for the United States of America? Friends of Iran. Who backs Hamas? Iran. Who would have access then? Remember Eric Swalwell? And I can't even believe the House committee said, oh, there's nothing here. That's such BS, I can't even believe it. Because because Reuters, an outside entity, determined that the NSA program that Swalwell had access to, that the House Intelligence Committee had access to, was being used by the CCP to spy on us after it was discovered that Swalwell had this relationship with the Chinese spy whore. Look, all I'm saying is, and in talking with David, all I'm saying is, so to answer your question, overconfidence, the compromise, and remember also that the left, and even right now, the left leadership in Israel is holding back its tacit approval and coming alongside with Netanyahu because they want a seat at the table so that they can do what? Give away more territory so they can. It is absolute insanity what Netanyahu is having to deal with these traitors. Traitors is my opinion of these leftist leadership who support killing babies and sodomy. Let's just be clear what they support. They support killing babies and sodomy. They had the whole LGBTQ group marching for them. They had the baby killers marching for them. They had the BLM type people marching and the Antifa people type marching, all marching against the conservative government. Because why? Because there's a revival happening in Israel as well. The young people in Israel are coming back to God. There are more people that are turning to Yeshua right now in Israel than any time in its history, save the time when Christ walked on earth. And in addition to that, prophetically speaking, the red heifers, there's five of them, will become of age this next April. Netanyahu announced two things. Number one, they will be sacrificing the heifers in order to purify the priests. They will be starting the sacrifices again for the cleansing of Israel, and they will be rebuilding the temple.
Well, and that is definitely problematic.
Well, it's problematic for Islam.
I mean, for Muslims.
That's right. It's problematic for the Muslims,
and it's
problematic for the secularists and the communists and the socialists that are there that are trying to hold power. When the majority, the mass majority population is saying no more, we want God to be God over Israel again, and that, ladies and gentlemen, is the ultimate battle. And I think Melanie just got we probably just got cyber bombed is probably what happened here. But it looks like we're projecting, so I hope that you all are hearing me okay. I'm going to presume that everybody is. All right, we have run out of time. I'm going to take our break. When I come back, Claire Lopez and Rick Manning will get Claire's assessment on this Israel war as well. It'll be interesting to hear what she has to say. I'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio coming up right after this brief break.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Did you know you can do your tithing and love offering right from your computer? Visit www.chosengenerationradio.com to support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation. Now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And I'm very pleased to welcome to the program my co-host for this segment, Mr. Rick Manning, Americans for Limited Government, and our special guest, national security expert Claire Lopez, is with us as well. And just to give some backdrop, I opened my program today by playing the clips of the imams, the Hamas imams, declaring extermination to the Jews and the Christians. And then on 1222, this is the senior Hamas official, Mahmoud al-Zahar. And he's saying, today you could say that we reach a phase of deterrence, a phase in which we can defend the occupied land. When we speak about the army of Jerusalem and the battle of the promise of the hereafter, we are not talking about liberating our land alone, but we believe our Prophet Muhammad said, Allah drew the ends of the world near one another for my sake, and I have sent its eastern and western ends. The dominion of my nation would reach those ends. The entire 510 million square kilometers of planet Earth will come under a system where there is no injustice. And then he goes on to say that they're going to kill all Zionists, Jews, and Christians. Now, one of the things, too, and I want to bring this in, and then, Claire, of course, I want to hear your thoughts on this. A good friend of mine, his name is Aaron Wolf, is a producer in Hollywood. I was introduced to him through my program. His father was a rabbi, and he was involved in raising funds to rebuild one of the most historic mosques in Los Angeles. And so he had posted on his Facebook page a prayer for Israel. And I follow Aaron and he follows me. And so I went on there to share with him that interview I mentioned to you guys that I did with David, the 2.5-hour interview and the prayer that I prayed and so on. I post it, and then I notice above my post is a post by an imam. This imam wrote the prophecy that was released in Mecca. this past year, which is that they intend a winter of Sakhar. They intend a winter of summer, a winter of the destruction of Jews and Christians around the world. It will break forth beginning on 12/21/23. He spoke about how Allah had prophesied an odd year and so on, and this is the release of that. They talked about killing Xi Jinping. It was one of the people they talked about killing in his prophecy, and that they were going to use his own biological weapon against him. But at any rate, this has been said. Now, I put this out, and Kevin Jessup, who I believe both of you know, put out something from a Dr. Kadar that he had put out just months ago.
Mordecai Kadar?
Yes, Mordecai Kadar, saying that his information that he had gathered was that basically the Islam as a whole believes that this is their season to usher in Armageddon. And so, you know, I that's what I can tell you. And I know there's a Twitter, there was a tweet that was out that I just saw from, I don't remember who exactly it was, talking about that they were calling for a mass response by Hamas worldwide for this Friday. But the imam said that whatever is happening now is just birthing pains for what they're planning in December. Claire, to you.
Well, there's a lot of stuff floating around the internet, that's to be sure.
Of course.
I think that Dr. Mordecai Kadar is an excellent source for you. Also, David Wormser. I would probably listen to them more than necessarily all of everything that's appearing on Twitter. But at this moment, we are looking at the massing of something like over 350,000 Israeli reservists, troops of the IDF, gathered in southern Israel around the northern, around the borders of Gaza. Getting ready to move in a ground operation. The air operation has been ongoing really since this past weekend, preparing for the ground invasion to come. I think that the resolve of the Israeli government is that there's no more, as they used to call it, mowing the grass. This time, Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad in Gaza must be utterly destroyed, so that they can never again threaten to harm, kill, rape, murder Israeli people.
There, Claire, I don't know if you heard this or not, but there was a report that I heard this morning that the word came out of Gaza that one of the air attacks ended up killing one of the founders of Hamas. And that was a result. Now that's it was a news report, and so who knows if it's true or not. But is Israel going to try to cut off the head of the snake here?
Yes, although the head of the snake obviously resides in Tehran, Iran. But yes, they're going to try to go after the leadership inside of Gaza. I think you're probably talking about Mohammed Daif. By the way, his original name is actually Mohammed al-Masri, which means he's Egyptian, but he is one of the top leaders of Hamas, who has been identified as one of the planners, the directors, the execution of that attack against Israel this past Saturday. He is understood, at least, to be probably, along with Hamas leader in Gaza, Yahya Sinwar, underneath Gaza, in hiding in the tunnels that are crisscrossing Gaza underneath the land. Other leadership of Hamas, to include Ismail Haniyeh, Khalid Mashal, they have for a long time lived in Doha, Qatar, which is a fast ally, close ally of the Iranian regime. And direction, of course, came from there as well. Other reports, if we've looked at, particularly the Wall Street Journal report of a couple days ago, indicated that the top leadership of Iran, meaning the leaders of the IRGC, Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, the Quds Force, plus at least on a couple of occasions, the foreign minister, Abdullahian, and then also the leadership of Hezbollah, Hamas, and PIJ, short for Palestinian Islamic Jihad, had been meeting weekly or biweekly in Beirut, Lebanon, since August, from August this year, 2023, till October, planning this operation, this attack against Israel. So when you talk about head of the snake, it's very much in Tehran, but also Beirut.
That was where I was going to go with a question. In terms of Hamas specifically, though, do you see potential attempts to take out leaders who might be housed in Doha or elsewhere as part of this operation?
I don't know. I've seen speculation about that, too. But obviously, they're not going to talk about it officially from the Israeli side. Something has to be done about Qatar's safe haven for these Hamas leaders who were up to their eyeballs in planning this horrific attack that murdered elderly men, women, children, decapitated babies. Yeah. Something has to be done about those who are harboring in Doha.
One of the other pieces, I guess, related to this, talking about Qatar and their involvement, is also Russia's engagement now in meeting with Arab leaders, once again trying to force this two-state deal, and there is some dissension within Israel as far as the two factions, Netanyahu's conservative government and a couple of these leftists that were involved in leading the protests against the judiciary reform and so on. There's some scuttle. I-24 News was talking about that last night, that they are putting a lot of pressure on Netanyahu to try to bring them to the table, so to speak. But well, go ahead, your thoughts.
I was just going to say that the latest news I've seen this morning is that one of the opposition party leaders, Benny Gantz, has accepted Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's offer to form an emergency government, at least for the duration of the war. The other one that may be considering, not sure, Yair Lapid, don't know if he will join an emergency government or not, but he's been invited.
I guess the concern with regards to that, obviously, is you know, the West Bank compromise and the compromises that have been made, I think that they know now have led to this. I mean, a lot of the attack that took place happened within their own boundaries because they had terrorists that they had kind of tried to, I guess, compromise with, but that were living in the West Bank.
Well, I'm not sure if folks know all the history of Hamas, but the predecessor organization for Hamas was founded by a sheikh, an imam, not an imam, I shouldn't say that, Sheikh Yassin, back in the 1970s. And at that time, the Israeli leadership saw Yasser Arafat and his PLO, who were conducting attacks and kidnappings and so forth, as the greater threat. And the Israeli government itself actually assisted and supported Sheikh Yassin.
Yeah.
And out of that organization, eventually, by 1988, was the formal introduction of Hamas itself and the publication of its covenant, which can be found in English online, PDF form. But the opening lines of which I should mention here say something to the effect, and I'm paraphrasing only a little bit, Israel exists and shall continue to exist until the forces of Islam will obliterate it. Not Hamas, Islam will obliterate Israel.
Yeah.
That's what it says in the covenant, the Hamas covenant of 1988. And then, of course, Hamas became involved in the Intifada that began in 1987. And then later on, the second Intifada began in 2000. And finally, the Israeli government, you know, woke up to the mistake it had made in supporting them in the first place. You know, PLO and Hamas are two sides of the same coin. But then eventually under Prime Minister Sharon, Ariel Sharon, in 2005, the Israeli government decided to yank out all Jewish settlements, synagogues. Everything was shut down and closed in 2005. Every last Jewish person literally dragged out of Gaza by the IDF. There haven't been any Jews in Gaza since 2005. So any talk about occupation, air quotes, has nothing to do with reality in Gaza.
The other piece that the media is playing a big role. Our media, it seems, is playing a big role. There is an Israeli positive to a degree, but now you're hearing the pushback of, oh, you know, these poor people in Gaza that are being bombed and so on. Israel started on Saturday sending messages in saying, hey, we're going to bomb Gaza. If you want to come out, we'll receive you. And then in addition to that, it should be noted, I think, that the people of Gaza voted in Hamas as their government, and they hide them. They allow them to put their missiles in their homes, in their schools, in their mosques. I mean, they are active participants, and they teach their children to kill Jews.
Yeah, unfortunately, maybe that's not all the people of Gaza. And I think that the Prime Minister Netanyahu's warning was in particular to the civilian population in the most crowded urban areas like Gaza City and the Khan Yunis area and a few others. But there are lots of areas of Gaza that are wide open, or I've also heard that people are taking shelter in UN schools that are understood will not be bombed. So there are places they can go even inside Gaza, but away from the most congested populated urban areas, which are the areas where the leadership, as we mentioned before, have their headquarters and have their bases of operation and so forth. But yeah, the media, not just ours, but all over, are going to play a huge role in this, as they always do. And forget about the images, which really need to be seen. They need to be shown.
Yeah.
Images that Hamas itself, their jihadis, took as they were, invading a peaceful kibbutzim and slaughtering people there. And then they posted that all over social media. Those things need to be seen, and hard as it is to look at them, and understand that that is why Israel has to once and for all get rid of Hamas and Pidge.
Claire, obviously the media plays a huge role. What groups are we going to see on TV and have seen on TV who have direct Hamas ties or direct Islamic jihad ties? And I know it's hard to define between the two. What groups should we pay attention to and say, wait a second, these people are not honest. They are actually people advocating for the destruction of Israel.
Well, I mean, you know, there are a lot of media outlets, I mean, even here in the United States and the West, that are considered mainstream. And you're going to see messaging like that in a lot of them. But certainly beware of Al Jazeera, which, of course,
I'm more concerned about the groups. I'm more concerned about the groups like CARE and people like that.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Well, OK, Al Jazeera media outlet from Qatar. But here in the United States, right, so the Muslim Brotherhood, Hamas, of course, is the Gaza branch of the Egyptian jihadist Muslim Brotherhood, and CARE, Council American Islamic Relations here in the United States, is the U.S. offshoot of Hamas. So, yes, obviously the Muslim Brotherhood front groups, and they will include CARE, ISNA, Islamic Society of North America, ICNA, Islamic Circle of North America, the IIIT, International Islamic Institute of Thought. We could go on and on. MPAC, Muslim Public Affairs Council, MAS, the Muslim American Society. On campus, you're going to see the Students for Justice in Palestine, which is the campus branch of the American Muslims for Palestine, a Muslim Brotherhood group and a founding member of the USCMO. That's the United States Council on Muslim Organizations, the political umbrella group of the Muslim Brotherhood in the United States. And we could go on for a very long list.
One of the other issues afoot is the Obama or the Biden. The Obama is going to say the Obama administration. It is the Obama administration, but the Biden administration and the close ties of several of their leaders to this. I was talking with David about the communication breakdown at the time of the attack, and he said that for hours, they had no idea in Tel Aviv that there were terrorists on the streets inside their cities, like 18 to 20 miles inside the country.
This was a very sophisticated operation, of course, managed, directed by Iran again. And part of that was to take advantage of a number of things. One, last Saturday was the end of the week of Sukkot, mm-hmm. which is the week that follows the Jewish high holy days of Rosh Hashanah and then Yom Kippur. And finally, the celebration, the week-long celebration of Sukkot, which ended on this past Saturday. Saturday also, of course, obviously, Shabbat, the day of worship and prayer for the Jewish people, many of whom were probably getting ready to go to synagogue or maybe on their way already there. And then, of course, it was, we should mention, the 50th, literally exactly the 50th to the day anniversary of the 1973 outbreak of the surprise attack in the Yom Kippur War.
Right.
But why were they taken by surprise? So Israel has relied to a great extent on high-tech defenses. And I've been to the Gaza border multiple times. I've been in Sukkot multiple times, and I've seen the fences that they put up there. They're wire electrified fences that are embedded with sensors, and those sensors are to alert nearby border police of any approaching anything, be it a rabbit or be it a person. So the first thing that apparently happened is that all the technology was taken down in a massive cyber attack.
I want you to continue that, but three names I'd like you to comment on before we close. Robert Malley, Mahir Bitar, and Ariana Tabatabai. And then continue what you're saying, but because I think there's a tie-in to those three names and what you're saying.
Right. So physically on the ground, this is what happened. They took down the technology defenses of Israel. They were taken by surprise because they were celebrating or commemorating important dates. Mm-hmm. But yes, to your point, so here in the United States, the Iranian regime has infiltrated and co-opted our national security going back to 2014 when it established something called the Iran Experts Initiative. And that was a recruitment operation to co-opt Iranian Americans who then were populated through the Department of State, Department of Defense, and think tanks as well. And the names you mentioned, Ariana Tabatabai and others, were recruited in the beginning by the now dismissed or suspended former U.S. envoy for Iran, Robert Malley, who was at the International Crisis Group, I think the name of the group is, think tank. And that is where he first recruited some of these people, including Ariana Tabatabai. But important about her, she still serves to this day with a top secret security clearance at the Department of Defense in the position of chief of staff to the Undersecretary of Defense for special operations, low intensity conflict, SOLIC. She is still in that position as chief of staff to that undersecretary of defense, Christopher Meyer, I believe his name is.
Well, Meher Bitar is also
on the National Security Council.
Yes, on the National Security Council.
Also brother.
And I would just make it a point, as I have previously, but I think it's important to point out the connection. Because remember, Eric Swalwell was sleeping with a spy whore. Reuters came out with a report that showed that an NSA software was being used by the CCP to spy on us after it was discovered that Swalwell was having this relationship with this Chinese spy whore. Somehow the House decided after 2 years to clear him in spite of overwhelming evidence, okay? And here we have another situation where the Biden administration has put enemies of the state in key positions. And as Dr. Wormser suggested, a cyber op of some sort happened, as you said, Claire, by your analysis, that took out these security measures.
I would say more even to the point than traditional espionage per se, was the influence operation of these people inside of our government. Sure. At the highest levels of national security, where they were in a position from 2014, remember, the year before the conclusion of the JCPOA, Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, the Iran nuclear deal, on through to this day, 9 years worth of infiltration to sway and to shape U.S. national security policy towards Iran and in favor of the Iranian regime. That's what they were doing. That's what's even more important than any sort of traditional spying or espionage, I think.
Well, I agree. There's no question about that. But I think that we can't dismiss the idea that there's two countries in the world with the kind of electronic security capabilities that Israel possesses. That's Israel and us. And there really isn't anybody else that's very close. China wants to be, but they're not there yet. And so the fact that Israel, with the number one security, electronic security defense system in the world, had their system disabled at the exact time that this attack took place. Iran does not alone, by itself, possess the capabilities, as I understand it, to have accomplished that.
Well, I'm not sure. We do know, of course, that Iran is closely allied with Russia, which does have such capabilities. A lot of questions yet to be answered about exactly what happened. And I think a lot of those will be addressed in an assessment by the Israelis, I hope by the United States, after this is all over. But for now, the important thing is the defense of the Jewish state of Israel. They've regained control, as I understand, of all the territory, the land of Israel around Gaza, and are now preparing to go into Gaza, as we've said, and end this threat from Hamas once and for all.
I know we're near the end of our time. I'm going to take just an extra minute to ask you this question, your assessment. We've also talked about border security. We've talked about our porous border. We've talked about terrorists being in our country as a result of that. And we know they are. Fox News just put up a thing, something like 6,500 Afghani terrorists that they've identified, that CBP finally came out and said, oh, yeah, by the way. How dangerous is the threat of Hamas on our own soil in light of what's taking place?
Not Hamas. Hamas's representatives in the United States of the Muslim Brotherhood are the care types. They are the influence operation, the propaganda fronts.
Okay.
Interfaith dialogue plays a role in this, by the way. But there is absolutely the danger that you're talking about from this wide open border for the last 2.5 years. In addition to the Department of Defense airlift of Afghans out of Kabul back in August of 2021, and our enemies over there, Al-Qaeda, Taliban, maybe the Islamic State too, which has a presence there, Islamic State in Khorasan, they'd have had to have been brain dead not to have seeded those flights, that flow out of Afghanistan. Yeah, of course, they're here. Well, we're in mortal danger, at least across the lower 48. Every state is a border state. There are cells all over the United States undoubtedly preparing for attacks, just like we just saw out of Gaza against Israel.
So, folks, again, I you know, stock up. You need to have sustenance to be able to survive. I would suggest you harden your defenses in your home and around your neighborhood and your residence in your area, and be aware of your surroundings. And then, most importantly, I would suggest that you get your life right with God, because right now he is the only one who's going to save all of us from all of this. And he's calling us to do that, and he is well able, but we are his hands, we are his feet, and we need to get into action. Claire, thanks for being with us today. I greatly appreciate it. Rick, thank you, my brother. I appreciate you.
Take care.
All right, we're going to take our break. We'll be back. Taryn Rose Mandelberg is with me next. Newsbusters and MRC. We're going to talk about what the media is, well, again, censoring and not doing. Fake news is live and well. We'll talk about it coming up right after this brief break.